Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it, and I'm so happy that I don't have to do that all by myself again.
I gotta say, I was gone for 1 week. We're lucky this podcast didn't catch on fire.
Okay, alright, it's not my fault that Neil dropped an S-bomb like 20 seconds into the podcast.
20 seconds in, they're swearing. Then also, which causes like a 12-minute derailment of like other excrement-related words that can be used as replacements. You messed up the plugs. You were all fumbly with the plugs.
Okay, okay. To be fair, with both of us here, we still mess up those plugs. Okay.
I know. I'm just saying. I listened to it and I was like, right. And I was like, no. I'm going to peg him on this. I'm going to peg him on this.
You didn't take notes. You didn't take notes at all.
Well, they're on my phone.
Oh, okay.
I didn't write the notes.
And like, they're so important that you don't even have your phone anywhere near you right now. That's how important those notes are.
And it was just like, I was like, you know, sitting there, I was like, all right. That's another 40 seconds where they didn't talk about wrestling.
Okay, all right.
There's another three minutes where they didn't talk about wrestling.
You've heard our other Chris and Neil CRA podcasts. I feel like this one was probably the best as far as staying mostly on point.
I'm just saying.
Compared to what it used to be.
I'm just saying, aren't you glad I'm back?
Okay, all right. First of all, with as many wellness policy violations that are going around in WWE, your absence is kind of suspicious.
I have been, like, all day today, sitting around, I was like, all right, what joke do I make about this? Like, what angle do we take this?
Yeah.
Because I'm like, all right, so we have the basic, well, the last guy with a wellness suspension has gotten back-to-back title shots.
Sure.
I understand why you would be like, well, this is clearly the path that they want
Bring
me to take.
Bring me that ganja.
The Paige had the best birthday party ever.
Right.
Or the... because it was like Del Rio got suspended first.
Right. And so then his significant
and
other.
And then Paige, you're like, oh, I see what happened.
An hour later.
Yeah, like, I see what happened. And then Eva Marie got it, and you're like, oh, Del Rio's in trouble. Del Rio's in trouble.
So, like, yeah, makes me wonder what exactly Vince knows about these wrestlers' personal lives. Maybe, like, he was the only other person that knew that Del Rio had this thing with Eva Marie on the DL. And
this is his way of telling?
And no. This is his way of like, well, I feel bad for Del Rio. He's going to have 30 days off. So he's like, I got you, fam. I got both of you. Here you go. Porque no los dos.
Then you can have this whole extra angle where, like, Eva Marie is, you know, living the gimmick. She's in this, like...
Right, yeah, yeah.
You can easily...
That's the first joke I went to on Twitter, yeah.
And you're sitting there, you're like, you have got to believe, like... Whoever writes Kayfabe News, like, saw the Del Rio thing, saw the Paige thing, was writing out his Eva Marie joke thing.
Oh, sure.
And then, like, gets ready to post it and like, WWE, word for word, the exact same thing.
Just
like, ah.
Right. So instead he went with Kayfabe News, I think, did Undertaker was
suspended
because they found out he was a dead man.
Yeah. Which, solid bit.
Joke, yeah.
But I gotta believe there's an unpublished Eva Marie joke.
Okay, so I was about to... Okay, from now on, anytime we refer to a bad, like, Reddit post or something, unlike Neil, who said the S-word post, we're going to say Neil post.
Neil post.
Okay, so I saw this Neil post on Reddit where somebody had posted, like, AJ Styles suspended, and it had a link to a WWE.com article you click on, and it was just the Eva Marie. So I was like, that was a pretty good, nice little... Because it made your heart skip a beat just for like a brief second. So
yeah,
that was a good Neil post.
All right.
Yeah, I really was just established the Neil post thing. It wasn't that good of a joke. I understand. All right. So since you were gone last week, before we dive too much into the mountain of wrestling that we've got to cover.
Yeah.
Was there anything from last week? Not necessarily, like, critiques of me and Neil, but was there anything wrestling-related that you wanted to talk about last week?
A lot of it also bleeds over into this week,
mm-hmm.
So I think any of my additional commentary will also...
Did you watch Kota Ibushi and Cedric Alexander from Cruiserweight?
Not yet.
Oh, my God. Literally, like, because I know we talked about the whole, like, match of the year debate thing a couple weeks ago. I forgot exactly why. I don't know.
There was another match of the year contender in the Cruiserweight. Cruiserweight has like three solid match of the year contenders in
it.
Is
it Gargano and Ciampa?
Might have been.
Well, Gargano and Ciampa is still my top three.
Might have been a Grand Malik match.
Maybe for you. Not maybe, because I didn't feel as strongly about that as you did. I loved it, mm-hmm. But Ibushi and Cedric Alexander might have taken the top spot for me.
Okay.
It's that. I feel like that. Also, how far behind are you? Just those 2 weeks or 3 weeks?
I think I'm 2 weeks behind right okay. now. Okay. Because I think I'm this week and last week behind.
The episode last night featured another Jack Gallagher match.
Uh-huh.
He's perfect. He's perfect in every way. Like, I want him to win all the things. He's that kind of wrestler for me.
I gotta say, I hope this is a recurring thing in the summer. And doesn't necessarily need to be a cruiserweight thing, but if maybe, you know, like, maybe a heavyweight championship or maybe a tag team championship, but something where, like, you get some non-WWE signed talent, you get some indie stuff, and you let them...
Right, and kind of use this as a template for other divisions.
Mm-hmm. And you show what you can do on a big stage. Here you go.
I could definitely get behind that, especially if you mix it up like that. That way, if your WWE's not farming cruiserweights every year,
mm-hmm.
you know, because that's really what this is.
Oh, yeah.
It's them farming cruiserweights for Raw.
You get a tag team next year. You get a women's thing the year after that.
Right.
I mean, you can do a heavyweight. There's a lot of stuff that you can do.
And apparently, if you're in the cruiserweight division, you're going to get a lot of work in because, unless I'm misunderstanding, Trump from Triple H's takeover conference call basically made it seem like cruiserweights that he's signing for the Raw cruiserweight thing, it's going to be like just something different for Raw. And basically they're going to be working those shows, plus they're basically going to be on NXT and working NXT house shows, but also being on Raw. You know what I mean? Like, that's weird to me, but, I mean, so far everything he's put into place has worked, so
yeah.
I'm just going to wait and see.
I feel pretty confident that the next 5, 7, maybe 10 years of Triple H is going to be some pretty solid, creative, interesting things.
Sure.
Because it's everything he's been bottling up for the entirety of his wrestling career.
Yeah, that's what he's talking about, the Cruiserweights. Like, it's something that he's been wanting to do for a while.
Yeah. So, I'm not saying, like, Triple H is our savior from the craziness event. And especially 10, 15 years down the line, he might, like, everything where he's like, I'm going to do this when I'm in charge. All those boxes might have been checked. And now he might be like, let's make something up.
Or I'm going to remember that time I had a good idea, like, 10 years ago. Let's do it again. Like, that kind of thing. But his ideas are different from the WWE norm. So, I'm open to it, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I guess with that all being said, we should probably just jump into stuff from this week.
Let's do it. Let me try this. Let's do it by the cards.
Okay.
Because
everything will kind of bleed into it.
Yeah, so much of this week and last week has all been about building up to the plethora of wrestling we have in front of us.
Sure, absolutely. So we'll go ahead and go through the TakeOver Brooklyn card. Ember Moon is making her debut up against Billie Kay. That was announced on last night's NXT episode. A lot of people have been excited about Ember Moon or whatever name she used to be under in NXT and before that or whatever. Here's the thing, and we're going to talk about this with Asuka and Bayley. No matter who wins that match,
right?
Somebody in NXT is going to eventually have to take the belt off of one of them. Who in the world can it be? Because they all don't see anybody that's being built up right now.
Right.
That can... Asuka, you know, I thought maybe they would eventually have Nia Jax, you know, just pull a whole brute strength thing and eventually take it off of Asuka. But Nia Jax is already on the main roster, so what do you do there?
Asuka Jax is undefeated, right? As far as television goes?
From Raw, yes. She's lost, like, 2 TakeOver matches.
Okay.
She lost she lost to Bayley at NXT London.
Right.
That was her first loss.
Okay.
And then lost again against Asuka at the last TakeOver.
Wait. No. Asuka?
Hmm? Oh, you're talking about Asuka.
Yes.
You said Nia Jax.
All right, whatever.
Okay, Asuka, yes, is still undefeated.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Right. So eventually I feel like somebody's going to have to...
But
unless they go the page route and just, like, you know, yeah, you're on the main roster, you can't be both champions, so...
Yeah.
That kind of fact.
Which is fine every now and then.
Sure.
But I like the championship being handed off through losses. And I think
sure.
they've proven that it's very easy to do without damaging the excitement of somebody sure. debuting.
Yeah.
You know, when somebody debuts, there's yeah, never been like, oh, that guy that just lost in NXT.
Yeah. I think, yeah, absolutely. And I don't think they really planned for that to happen with Paige. I'm assuming the Paige, like, when she won, it was, you know, the day after WrestleMania. I feel like that was probably, like, a day of decision kind of right. thing. Like, really make an impact when she comes in. And then, like, oh, well, there's that this business of her still having the NXT Women's Championship. I'm like, ah, we'll deal with that later. It's just yeah. NXT. No one watches that, you know? So, yeah, they probably just didn't plan that one out. And that's really probably the only reason why that even happened. Other than that, yeah, like, WWE's always been a firm believer of, you know, if you're going to go out, you're going to go out on your shield, like that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're going to hand this over. So, I feel like Ember Moon is probably going to be that person. Because they put a pretty decent amount of emphasis on her, you know, on her debut.
I think she's winning this match, no question.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't think there's much debate about that. We'll see.
Speaking of one that I feel like there is going to be a little bit of debate, because I don't know. Well, there's a couple of them like that, but this one, No Way Jose and Austin Aries. This is interesting because, you know, we get to see No Way Jose work a longer match,
mm-hmm.
which is not something we've seen in NXT yet. So, you know, they kept talking about, oh, you know, and you saw that in the last couple episodes of NXT, like there's he can flip the switch and become more aggressive and more serious.
Do you remember that very brief time where, like, it felt like Santino could be world champion?
Like that 5 seconds? Yeah.
Well, it was like he won us maybe 3 or 4 matches in a row.
Right.
Showed some genuine offense that weren't like – he pinned people. It wasn't like lucky wins right. where they, you know, tripped on a banana peel.
Like the Hell in the – not the Hell in the
– And it came to an Elimination Chamber moment.
Right. There you
where
go.
He got an Elimination Chamber match, earned his way into there, and mm-hmm. then had some serious – offense in there, and you're like, okay, so this guy who is the goofy, silly comedy character, but still clearly has wrestling training,
sure, yeah.
has wrestling talent,
right?
And like, I could see him pinning for a victory in this match mm-hmm. without it being ludicrous.
And also putting into perspective, like, how exactly they were booking Daniel Bryan at the time, who was the heavyweight champion,
right?
But he was very much like a cowardly heel. Snobby heel mm-hmm. as well,
right.
Type of character. So you could absolutely like see them like having Daniel Bryan go insane because he lost the championship to Santino.
Yeah.
So we could see that storyline building in our brains when that happened. Yeah.
I feel, and it's not an exact parallel.
Sure.
Because No Way Jose has been talented is not the right word, but like I'm reaching for a better word here.
Charismatic.
No, he has shown in ring talent, in ring sure. ability beyond what Santino did, especially at the beginning of Santino.
Sure, showing that he's not.
He's still there to wrestle.
Sure,
he's there to pipe up the crowd and bring some enjoyment.
Whereas
to the show.
Santino was there for the laughs.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
But No Way Jose has still very much been this like. He's there to have fun, you guys.
Sure.
Until
somebody comes and wrecks his party, apparently.
Right.
And that's when he's like, no, no way.
Jose.
And that was actually unintentional until I got to the no. Yeah. Okay. Ultimately, I see Austin Aries probably winning.
Okay.
But it's like one of those things where like I don't know how. Because, you know, we keep hearing rumors that ever since, you know, like No Way Jose has apparently really blown away the officials, you know, that... You know, they're really impressed with him, so I don't know exactly how much emphasis they're going to put behind him.
Right.
You know, but probably not enough to beat Austin Aries. I don't feel like he's reached that point yet.
That's the thing, is like, this is one of the things where you're like, it's an honor just to be nominated.
Sure, and you know, Austin Aries, like, I think, I can't remember if he, yeah, he did win his first match against Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
But then he lost against Nakamura. So, yeah, he's kind of like...
So he's due for a win?
Yeah,
kind of.
Yeah. Now we have the NXT Tag Team Championship, Revival against Gargano and Ciampa. I want to say Gargano and Ciampa wins, but then again, what do they do with Revival? Like, I don't know if they bring them up yet. They probably need to, because SmackDown has like four tag teams or five,
yeah,
or however it may be. So, and they've been pushing these last couple weeks that SmackDown's like, we've got a real tag team division. And we're like, no, you don't. You've got American Alphas, yes. And then a couple like fledgling former NXT tag teams.
Do you think? I don't feel like Revival is hitting the same stride that other tag teams other from NXT have in the past.
What do you mean?
I mean when Enzo and Cass came out,
sure,
they came out and the whole crowd knew the chants, were ready to go.
Sure.
And they're a magical rare exception.
Sure. And I mean, but Revival are, you know, they very much lay into the heel tag team.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, I feel like to a lesser extent, there was still that with American Office and with like Vaudevillains, mm-hmm, I guess is another good example of like these guys. I know about these guys. I've heard about these guys. Mm-hmm. Even if I'm not like an avid, you know, watcher of NXT, maybe I don't get the network kind of thing.
Right.
It's still gotten into the community enough that like these are some guys to be excited about when they finally make their debut.
Right.
And I feel like the Revival is supposed to have that around them.
Right.
And kind of does, but just not.
I mean,
I feel like their eventual call-up has a lot more like, well, guess it's about time. And sure, the fact that SmackDown needs the numbers is right, not helping that.
No. Yeah, because you know, I like the Revival a lot.
I don't want them,
you know, there's a part of me that's going to be kind of scared that they get the Ascension treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Although just watching matches, I feel like Revival are way more talented than the Ascension.
I don't feel like they're necessarily clicking,
mm-hmm,
the way that everything in NXT does. And they're not doing anything bad. There's nothing where I can, right, sit there and be like, oh, this is where they're falling apart. This is what it
so
is.
So it's beyond just them doing just straight up heel work. Because they really lay into that. Like, they are really good heels.
They do. They are. And that's the thing, is like, I have no specific complaints.
Right.
There's no, like, they don't do this for me, this isn't, mm-hmm, working for me, none of that. And there's nothing where I can point out, like, remember on this episode when they said this, and it just, yeah, didn't, there's none of that either. It's just, and again, like, generic is not the right word.
No.
Because I don't think they're generic. I think, no, they do have clear-cut characters, clear-cut, you know, motivations. I think that they have tapped into that very well. It's just not clicking. No, there's nothing in it that makes me feel like, and this will work when it comes up. And I want to compare it to American Alpha, since,
sure,
they are they're not opposites, but they're, you know, you could very much see a comparison.
Oh, sure,
with,
yeah,
those two, especially because they're kind of. American Alphas did have something where, like, I am excited, right, to see American Alphas, and it felt like the entire universe was excited to see American Alphas finally make that leap.
Sure.
It doesn't feel like we're all excited and waiting with bated breath for Revival to make that leap.
Fair enough.
And again, it's like, maybe that's just my feelings on it.
Sure.
Because I don't have anything to back it up.
Sure.
So, yeah, if you disagree with me, it's an argument for the tearing,
sure,
apart.
I mean, honestly, I think it kind of comes back down to, you know, I feel like it kind of comes down to the heel work, to be honest with you. Like, you know, they're really good at making people hate them, including the NXT audience, and I feel like that's the impressive thing.
Yeah.
We talked about how over everything is with NXT. I feel like if you can get the NXT fans to boo you or hate you or whatever, I feel like that's quite an accomplishment.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's definitely where their strength lies, because, I mean, I love them to death, but man, they made me hate them a lot, especially when they in going up against American Alpha, because I love American Alpha so much.
Yeah.
So I feel like, honestly, they may not be, like, you know, multiple-time tag team champions on the main roster or anything, but I feel like they will be go-to heel tag teams for a long time.
Okay.
I feel more confident in them than I do or did about vaudevillains or
Centurion. I guess here's my question. You feel confident about them being the go-to heel tag team for a long time?
Especially if they start off on SmackDown, yes.
I feel like the Usos are the go-to face tag team.
Right.
And that's you like so do you see the weird like dangerous trap that I feel like they could very easily fall into?
Yes. And that lies entirely on them.
And so
that you're right.
Cuz the thing is like vaudevillains,
could we have really predicted how stale the Usos would get out quickly?
No. I mean, the thing, vaudevillains, however you feel about it, that had a thing to it where you're like, that's gonna be awesome or burn. Right. Same thing with Ascension. And same thing with American Alphas. Even though American Alphas are just two dudes with normal sounding names.
Sure.
Who decided to be attacked, and they're not like brothers. There's not like a gimmick where they, you know, met.
They're wrestlers.
Yeah, wrestlers who happen to work well together. But something clicked there where you're like, that's what a tag team feels like.
It's like they don't have a ton of personality, but it clicks and it works and is so much to be excited about. And a lot of it is their incredible ability.
Yeah.
That's just where it comes down to where that is why, and honestly, that's probably the best reason why, you know, fans get behind anybody is their incredible ability. Now, if they're a great character or whatever, like you saw that with New Day, like you show an immense amount of character that is entertaining, will get behind you. But if you can get behind somebody just based off their athletic ability, that's pretty strong, I feel.
Yeah.
In a wrestling environment.
No, I agree.
But that being said, I want Gargano and Ciampa to have like more prominent positions in NXT. I would prefer it to be individually, although they work incredible. I love their work as a tag team as well, but I also really love their singles work. So it's kind of like one of those weird situations where they didn't really seem to do a whole lot with them when they weren't in a tag team.
Yeah.
And they got kind of, but maybe now that, you know, seemingly the NXT landscape has kind of thinned out a little bit, but at that same time, they just brought in a whole bunch of guys, a whole bunch of people. More NXT people like Bobby Roode, Austin Aries, Nakamura is still there, Joe's in there, so it's still like a lot of places for them to get lost in the shuffle. So I honestly think those guys will probably lose, and we probably might not see much of them until Cruiserweights and on Raw, because I feel like it's a strong possibility. I feel like it's almost guaranteed that both those guys will be involved in the Cruiserweight division on Raw.
That's reasonable.
So now we have the guy who with a name that needs to change, Andrade Cien Almas. It's too much.
Yeah.
Just Cien Almas, or just Andrade, or something. Andrade Cien Almas is too much. Anyway, he's going up against Bobby Roode. That's one where I'm not sure exactly who they want to back here.
Yeah.
Because they're all about Almas, like, you know, beating Ty Dillinger at the last takeover. And we've barely seen – well, we've seen him a couple times, Andrade, since then. But
– I got to
– it's Bobby Roode's first match in NXT. Like,
I got to pick Bobby Roode. Bobby Roode is
– glorious.
You're funny.
I am.
Bobby Roode was one of the reasons I watched NXT past the point of should have watched NXT.
TNA.
Yep. TNA.
Yeah.
That all...
I'm not saying you should still watch NXT.
Remove all the NXTs in that sentence and replace them with TNA. I mean, he's one of the very few examples of a guy that felt homegrown and developed in there.
Sure.
Had some solid matches, had some, you know, when I wanted to be like, valid competition, right?
Yeah.
His work was a lot of what I would point to.
Sure.
So I feel like he hit the ceiling in TNA very quickly because TNA's ceiling is so low.
Sure.
That I've always kind of wanted to see him you know, where he could really spread. And that's the thing. It's like, all right, let's see what he can do when he has a solid card of guys to compete with / to work with.
Sure.
So.
Okay. Yeah, I got to go with Bobby Roode on that, too. Not that we're officially making picks on this or anything.
No.
But it's just fun to do anyway. Now we have the women's championship match, Asuka versus Bayley.
I'll go with Asuka.
Just in the hopes that Bayley's... This surely has to mean this is Bayley's last NXT match.
Bayley, yeah. Bayley's got to be called up any day now.
Has to be.
And, like, she doesn't need to be the one that breaks the streak. You know?
No, she does, like... She doesn't need it, especially down in NXT.
Yeah.
It would just kind of just be one more feather in her cap in NXT.
That is a feather-filled cap.
It very much is. I'd rather them bring it up. Probably some... Well, it'll probably be somebody like that more homegrown that they've kind of like are pushing that could use that feather.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've just kind of... I don't think Asuka's undefeated thing ends here.
No, I don't think so.
But I feel like it's a good like match to end her NXT career on.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Especially specifically at Brooklyn, place that pretty much was a big turning point for her last year.
Yeah.
So
that's one of the things where you're like, yeah, all right, it's time. It's time that she. I mean, once you realize that she was at the level where she was at Brooklyn last year,
right?
And like, if you had told me after Brooklyn last year, be like, they're doing, you know, Brooklyn 2 next year, she's still gonna be here. I'd be like, no, you liar.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So, that's one of the things that kind of reinforces is it's time.
Yeah.
It's time for her to go and make a real mark in the... So.
Especially now that, like, Alexa Bliss and Carmella have been called up, and we're like, well, okay, come on. Come on, guys. Like, I love both of them, especially Alexa Bliss, but come on. There's Bayley.
I love them, but you're really making me strain to hold my kayfabe together that those drafts were real you do that.
But all that being said, Bayley's probably gonna like Raw's gonna eat her up, right? Like they're just gonna like, nope, mine. SmackDown's gonna be like, what? As much as SmackDown probably needs her, I feel like she would probably like unless they're turning Becky Lynch heel anytime soon, which I don't see that happening.
We'll get to some issues I've been having.
Okay.
With the brand split. Yeah.
Okay.
Recently.
Okay. That's completely warranted. Now we have Samoa Joe and Nakamura. That one's more difficult for me. You know? Because I've been in the firm belief that they're going to move Nakamura up as quick as they possibly can. You know, get some, you know, get him his feet kind of underneath him with the next day. And I feel like he's very well done that.
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, he would probably lose this and then immediately get pulled up to the main roster. Or if they really want to, you know, create a long-term thing with him and Joe, which I could also see them doing. But at the same time, I'm like, well, I'm ready for Joe to get moved up too.
Yeah.
Although I do like him being like the big final boss of NXT, which it was pretty much what we had said the moment he got signed. It would be great and now he is that. But it, you know, it was weird. Like when Triple H was on the conference call, was talking about like he had like a poster of like the card from last year's Brooklyn like framed in his office, and he was just looking at it the other day, and he was like, "Wow, there's hardly anybody on that card that's on the card this year, and it's just like Joe and Bayley,
yeah,
maybe the revival, you know,
yeah,
from like the pre-tape stuff, so." It's just one of the things where, like, oh, right, Joe's been here a really long time. Or at least a year, and I feel like he definitely...
It feels like he hasn't. Like,
sure.
For all the things for Bayley, you're like, Bayley's still there?
Yeah.
It feels like Joe hasn't been here as long.
Sure.
And I think part of it is he came and then didn't do anything for a little bit.
Right.
Because, you know, he had some other dates and et cetera, et cetera. But there was that kind of like, oh, yeah.
Plus, a lot of focus was on, like, Kevin Owens and Finn Balor at the time.
Exactly.
Yeah. Where that was during the time where Kevin Owens was just feuding with everybody.
Yeah.
And then it was like that,
That was the, like, summer of Kevin Owens has 10 feuds going.
Right. And it's like, and Hideo Itami came back, and we're like, well, we haven't seen him in over a year because he was attacked in the parking lot, and we assumed it was Kevin Owens, and that's like that's as close as they ever touched it. And moving on with them, which is fine because it's like they kind of missed a window on that.
Yeah.
So and you know then we it was a couple months where we had the Dusty Rose Classic where he was doing nothing but tag team stuff with Finn.
Right.
So it feels like he hasn't done much but yet done everything in NXT at the same time. I don't know how that makes sense, but it does.
Yeah. Well, he's also like one of the guys is like, what does he need NXT for?
Right. Like, and again, like I feel like NXT might need him more than he needs it. And I feel like that's where we're at now.
Which is
like,
why,
like I said, he's the big bad boss.
Which is why I'm okay with him staying there longer.
Sure.
Because not that he needs it, but that NXT might need it. I can see that being
sure. thing.
And if he's happy there, then
oh sure, like if. Just, you know, if he makes, let's say, the next 6 months to maybe another year of NXT, where he's just, like, the gatekeeper to the championship in one way or another, I'm okay with that. As long as they make it interesting and, you know, and it doesn't feel like they're wasting him.
Yeah, which it seems like they have done so far, so.
Yeah, no.
No reason not to think that'll continue.
Absolutely. So I feel like Joe is probably going to win.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I feel like it's more likely that they're going to call up Nakamura soonish rather than
this is the match my prediction match this is the match that's gonna make me catch my breath the most the,
sure
this is the two count scare match.
Sure. Yes. I feel like they could probably at least milk one more takeover main event out of it if Nakamura doesn't win tonight or win this week. Now if Joe loses, Nakamura wins the championship, they could probably go, like, three takeovers, just like what they would with Finn Balor and Joe.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did he do three with Kevin Owens? He just do two with Kevin Owens?
He did two. Yeah, he did two because the Takeover Brooklyn was his rematch.
Okay.
Yeah. He did three with Joe. And, well, no, two takeovers. No, three takeovers. Because he lost at a house show, lost championship.
He did, right.
And he was trying to regain it at the last one, and he lost. That's what it was. So technically it was four, but three takeovers.
Okay.
So they could obviously give the feud more legs, but I feel like it's more likely that they're going to have Nakamura move up sooner than later.
Yeah.
Especially once we get towards, you know, that fall type kind of a slump that we've kind of had lately. At least the last couple of years,
right.
Where they just need some like a little bit of energy to get them through the fall winter, and I feel like that's gonna be Nakamura.
Okay.
Or Joe, I'm okay with the other one, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So that's TakeOver. I'm pretty excited about it.
Okay. So as we head towards SummerSlam,
okay,
a few things I want to point out. I believe this is an 11 match card.
Okay, let me bring it up real quick. I will confirm or deny.
All right.
But, okay, let me go ahead and just say one quick thing, from Raw.
Okay.
Is I feel like they gave a lot away.
Yeah.
On this go-home show, on Raw. And you're right, it is 11.
11 okay, match. So WrestleMania 32 was a 12-match show.
Yeah.
So this is one match shy of the 7-hour WrestleMania.
Yeah, and because they had like three of those matches. Two or three of those matches in the pre-show.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
but to be fair, that also featured a BS overly long Rock segment.
It did. It did
that feature. Eventually, yes, turned into a match.
Yeah.
And then that last hour was a god-awful main event.
No, it was.
Like,
I'm not,
to never happen.
But I'm saying, does this mean we're going to be having some very quick matches? Because
I mean,
SummerSlam is an extra hour this year. SummerSlam is a 4-hour show.
Yes.
But it's not a 7-hour show. And it'll be 4.5, maybe 5 hours with the pre-show.
Yeah, I'm actually going through it, and I'm like, oh, I'm sure there'll be a couple of them that are quick matches. And I'm going through, and I'm like, not really that many.
Hopefully not. Like
not many that can, like, I can reasonably, like, Miz and Apollo Crews might be quick.
Yeah, that one can be 5 minutes or under.
They might invoke some shenanigans with Enzo and Cass versus Jericho and KO, since it's not for any sort of championship. Other than that, I would hope most of these are quick, or not quick, but most of them are given a decent amount of length.
Yeah. So
who knows with Lesnar and Orton?
Yeah. So as we were talking about brand split things,
mm-hmm.
I do want to say I really like that on the respective shows, for the most part, they are just advertising their matches.
Sure.
You know, Raw is mostly advertising Raw. Sure. Like, there's not a whole lot of like, and also from SmackDown, this is, and not the other way around either. Mm-hmm. You know, right. It doesn't like, yeah, this is SmackDown, but Raw's also got these matches.
Sure.
Which is very nice, very exciting.
It seems like, again, like the only crossover is Brock and Randy.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm okay with.
Yeah, I'm okay with that as well. I think it's going to be a very telling sign which show has more pre-show matches. Like,
yeah.
Because
I can tell you now the multiple women tag match.
That's got pre-show written on it.
It's got pre-show written all over it. I don't know what else they put on that.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. I'll be honest. I'll be kind of mad if they put Cesaro and Sheamus. Not really Sheamus, but Cesaro. If they put that on pre-show, I'll be mad at that.
I could see Cesaro, but I could also see Miz and
Apollo. That was going to be my only.
Which is another SmackDown thing.
Right.
And I feel like they could put the Dean and Dolph at the end and be like, ah, SmackDown main event.
Mm-hmm.
And then be like, we can crap on SmackDown the rest of the show.
Sure.
And shove three SmackDown matches into the pre-show.
Right.
And, you know.
I will say this, like, I've noticed something, especially with the build up to SummerSlam. SummerSlam very much feels like, let's just get through this show. Because it's, you know, it's the first one since the brand split. And a lot of these feuds feel like kind of like a one-time thing. Like, honestly, I don't feel like this is going to be a long-term program with Dean and Dolph. And I definitely don't feel like it's going to be a long-term program with Seth and Finn Balor.
Yeah.
Same with, like, the mid-card belts with Cruz and Miz. Maybe they'll get 2 months out of Roman and Rusev.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, depending on how much they want to, quote, keep Roman, you know, grounded.
Right.
And by grounded, I mean, you know, going for their second biggest title on the show.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Still biggest title on the show. Until you make the Universal title, U.S. title is your biggest title.
Sure.
And depending on how dumb that belt looks, I might refuse to accept Universal title as your heavyweight title.
What would... Okay.
I mean, okay. Finn Balor and Seth Rollins.
Sure.
Your two tiniest, flippiest little dudes.
Yes.
Are going for your heavyweight. Well, friggin' Roman Reigns and Rusev?
United States, because the United States are...
That's your heavyweight match. Sorry, that's your heavyweight match.
Well, on average, your U.S. citizen is pretty beefy, so...
It's your heavyweight match.
Come on. All
right.
How mad will you be if the Universal belt is just, like, the WWE Championship, but, like, with a different colored background or a different colored strap?
If they red and blue it like that?
If they do what they do with the women's belt, but with, like, it's a red because it's Raw, you know, that kind of thing, and then make the SmackDown, like, a blue belt?
Yeah.
How mad would you be?
I extra hate that because the regular WWE Championship is already red, so they're going to make it change and change it to blue so that they can... Like, it's Universal, it's different. Like, same friggin' design.
Sure. But I feel like once they get through with SummerSlam, specifically SmackDown, they can really... Like, SmackDown can really,
I agree. I feel like...
Really get down to the nitty-gritty, create their tag team belts, create their women's championship, you know... And build toward, because I think they're the first one that has their own special event.
Yeah.
Which I think is, like, not long after SummerSlam. So they kinda
I think they kind of got to hit the ground running. But it feels like they're ready to. It feels like they're very anxious to.
I feel like that's why there's been such an emphasis on all of the women on their show. A lot of, like, last couple weeks have been a big emphasis on all of their tag teams, even though it's very tiny number. But they've been, like, you know, really focusing on, like, pointing out to people, like, hey, we've got both of these divisions. We're just trying to get through SummerSlam and that kind of thing.
And I feel like, you know, that it's hard to compete when you have two-thirds the roster.
Sure.
And, like, you know, they're making no, you know, hidden agenda. Like, no, it's a competition between the two shows.
Sure.
And it should be. Yeah. That's literally the whole point of having that brand split is to breed that competitive feeling.
And I definitely feel like, you know, SmackDown is probably going to bring in more free agents, quote unquote, you know, after SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Like I said, like, I feel like they're just getting through this show because they're probably going to bring back Curt Hawkins probably next Tuesday. They already started running, you know, promos for that. They were going to get Shelton until he got that really bad shoulder injury, so he's not coming anytime soon, I don't think. And there's a few names that they might bring down. I can't remember. There's a lot of people talking about Carlito, and I don't remember which show the Primo and Epico are on or whatever they're calling themselves.
Yeah. But you want to get to the card?
Yes, let's get down to the card. We've got what is now a 2-on-3 handicap tag team match with Carmella, Becky Lynch, and Naomi versus Natalya and Alexa Bliss. I don't know. I hope they might come up with somebody to join in.
Yeah, my pitch.
But I don't know who.
Yeah, my pitch. Up until earlier today was that obviously the heels would be winning with Eva Marie never getting in the match and providing some sort of out of ring distraction.
Sure.
That would cause, you know, the pin.
What if they still do that? But just use your music. Just use your music.
That's the thing. Like that might be. I don't know. It's like, can she appear via satellite during a wellness violation?
Like I said, in kayfabe land, you don't even need to be there. You just have to play your music, and that's enough to distract everyone in the ring.
Yeah.
Except for the referee, who's right there to always make it count. Whenever
that's the one time they're not distracted.
Sure, yeah.
I'm still gonna go heels. Ladies in heels.
Okay. Alright. I'm gonna say faces.
Alright.
I wanna go with faces. Now we have Cesaro and Sheamus, which already feels like they're in a best of seven, but no, this is the first in their best of seven series.
You know what? I like the best of seven. I'm going to go out and I'm going to defend the best of seven concept.
Even though they've already faced off a bunch of times and Cesaro has pretty much won all of them.
So what this means, if they're going to have this feud happen for the next 2 to 3 months, you know what? There is an ending.
Sure.
There are. I have a countdown to the end of this feud.
Until they get to the seventh one, I'm like... Best of 11, you guys.
You know what? If they do that, that's stupid and I hate it.
All right. Because that kind of feels like, they've already did a best of, what was it, 1-2. So best of 3? They already did a best of 3.
Yeah, but they didn't call it that.
Sure.
And you know, and they can argue dumb kayfabe reasons for shenanigans, etc. Sure. But now they're like, you know what? Best of 7, let's go, let's do this. And yeah, it's a long thing. It'll take a couple of months, probably. It should, you know.
Right.
Burn it all out in 2 weeks. But
yeah, clearly these are two guys that Raw doesn't necessarily
They don't know what to do with them.
Know exactly what to do with them.
Yeah.
So this is kind of a way to tread water, but without, like, actually treading water. You know what I mean?
But I also feel like, you know what? Fine. That these two guys, you know, they need to fight somebody. Mm-hmm. And it also, I'm assuming that some of the best of seven will happen on Raw. Which has been my biggest complaint for forever about Raw matches is
they don't feel like
they're just cuz, yeah. Sure. And so they're marking, you know, towards this best of seven thing. So we will have a scorecard.
Sure.
And we're allowed to remember previous matches. I mean, that's
just one of those things where wins and losses actually count for something.
Yeah. Well, you know.
All right, you're putting a positive spin on it.
Well, there's so many things where they're like, these guys have been back and forth for weeks now, and you're like, no, one of them just beat the crap out of the other one.
Yeah.
Every match for 4 weeks now. It's not a back and forth.
Right.
But now we get to, you know, remember, we're allowed to remember 3 weeks ago.
So they're absolutely going to full seven, right?
Oh, I assume so. Yeah. I assume so. I mean, and like this one, I'm going to say Cesaro, but it's literally a coin flip. It doesn't matter who wins the first one.
I'm going to say Cesaro as well.
So, I mean, I would be interested to hear anybody's actual argument for one or the other, why they think they're going to win the first in this best of seven.
Yeah.
But.
Next we got Miz and Apollo Crews for the Intercontinental Championship. Yeah. It's one of the things where it's like, where we can be like, clearly they're, you know, just going to put the belt on Apollo Crews because he's the guy that they like, but do they really like him that much?
It's like, which guy do I want to continue to do nothing?
Yeah. And I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't, yeah, I was kind of hoping you had a good argument, one or the other.
I don't. It's like, I almost want the title to come off of Miz,
mm-hmm.
so that Miz can have
something
a,
to chase.
Can have a feud. Well, he can have a feud,
right?
That has to do with his personality,
right?
Which, like, however you feel about Miz's personality, like,
it's a strong suit.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so he wants to beat somebody up because they didn't like his movie or something. It just the belt thing. Almost doesn't work for the Miz.
Right. Yeah, it's really just, you know, to go along with the metaphor, I guess, it's just another prop for him.
Yeah.
You know. I don't know. I'm just going to say Apollo Crews.
I'll say Miz. I mean, it goes... Because like, this thing is like... There's nothing being done with that title, which is a shame.
Sure.
But
considering it's the only championship on the show,
the show that has the WWE championship.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, well, shut up. It's late. Calm down.
For that, I'm like, hey, yeah, okay,
there's no obvious Febreze about this one.
So, yeah, I accept Jericho as what this one will be.
What was Jericho and AJ Styles?
Y2AJ.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
that was gross.
Yep, no.
Jericho is fine.
Jericho smelling like roses right now.
Yeah, and there's a little bit of reminiscence of Jericho, so like, yeah.
All okay, right. All right, which was probably their best name.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm probably just gonna because this is probably just a one off.
I'll say it's shenanigans. It's not for anything.
Uh-huh.
Which
usually means heels win.
It's not going to hurt Enzo and Cass to lose this one.
Yeah.
Because you'll get to talk for 20 minutes on a microphone about how it was an unfair win, and they're going to insult a mother, and then spell right. soft, and it's like, yeah.
Or Jericho and KO, like, turn on each other and starts feuds with them two. But then I'm like, well, who do they turn face in that situation?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure Kevin Owens will make a great face, and we know Jericho can do it, but I kind of like them both where they're at, so.
Yeah.
You know what? Screw it. I think they're going to ride the Enzo train, so I'm going to say Enzo and Cass.
All right, that's fair. We're splitting a lot here. This is going to...
I mean, two, but yes. In a big card, sure.
Yeah.
All right.
This is going to be a difference maker. We've split at least three so far.
Well, I'm not really worried about you. I'm worried about catching up to the overall, because I've slipped these last couple... These last couple pay-per-views.
All right.
And overall standings. Now we have the Tag Team Championship, New Day versus Gallows and Anderson.
It's got to be New Day, right?
I don't know.
That's their year, man.
I know.
That's their year? You think they won't give them the year? You think they'll not do the year on the show that would mark the year?
But WWE... has taken away their reason to, like, quote, look strong with the, because Big E's not going to be there apparently.
Uh huh.
For one reason or the other, or he makes his big triumphant return or something, and that'll be the big news. But that's what's giving me pause. It's like they took away the big guy that they always like to make look strong, you know, keep Roman looking strong, that kind of thing. So that could be their out. But then again, I've had the same thought anytime that they had Xavier defending and not Kofi
mm-hmm.
with Big E. It's like, oh, they've got Xavier in. That means they're probably going to lose, but they don't, at least not for the championship. So now it's just like they don't have Big E.
I have picked New Day for the last 12 times we've done this.
You're right. They haven't steered us wrong.
Yeah. Like,
except for like WrestleMania when they went for – we're fighting not for the championship.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
That's when they let us down.
But
this is for the championship.
That's easy. And at some point it will let me down. But,
oh, sure.
Like, I feel like,
you know what? Yeah, and I don't want to ever bet against them for the championship.
Yeah. So I would rather be wrong and go down on that ship, I think.
Yeah. No, yeah, you can miss me. I'm going to say New Day.
All right.
Thank you. You brought in that power positivity.
That's right. Power positivity.
We have the women's championship match, and Dana Brooks is barred from ringside. We got Sasha Banks versus Charlotte.
Yeah, Sasha Banks.
Really? You don't think Charlotte has any other shenanigans up her sleeve? Or is Will Sasha Banks...
I don't care. I'm going to Sasha Banks. I like her, and I want her to win, and she should have a title.
You're right. I was trying to play devil's advocate, because I feel the exact same way.
All right, so you're going to go Charlotte, and I'm going to go Sasha Banks. So that's locked in right there. No changes. What's Sasha the next
Banks,
thing?
I was trying to make you doubt yourself. Sasha Banks is going to win. That's what I'm saying.
So we've split on that one as you've gone, Charlotte.
No, I haven't. Do you have anything else to talk about with this match?
No, Sasha Banks is who I want to win, and she's going to win, and I have no doubt. Okay. There you go, the end.
All right, Sasha Banks is going to win. That is my pick as well. What is talking? All right. This is what happens when you talk fast. You make me talk fast, too. And I can't handle it. My brain doesn't compute. United States Championship, Rusev versus Roman.
You're assuming Roman?
Yeah.
Yeah? You don't think they're going to punish him further?
No. No, I don't. You know why? Because they had him beat him. They had him beat Rusev cleanly at the end of Raw as their main event.
But see, that's the thing. Is
after he already got beaten up before the match.
When somebody wins on Raw, that's usually a signal that they're going to lose at the pay-per-view.
Yeah, usually they don't have someone beat somebody clean against, like, one-on-one. The Raw before...
I think I might be going Roman or Rusev here.
I mean, okay.
Okay, and here's why. Because you're going Roman, right?
I'm going Roman, but I'm all ears. Go ahead.
How are they going to take the belt off of Roman? How are they not trapped with Roman being their subpar champion there?
Have him be champion of the United States and the universe. I don't know. Have Rusev pull like a dirty win like on the next pay-per-view.
I mean, I think Rusev's going to, you know, do the... I don't think he's going to win cleanly.
Oh, sure.
That's nonsense.
But it's SummerSlam. And you got to make Rusev... Or you got to make, you know, Roman Reigns look strong.
I'm going to go Rusev. This is my risky one.
Okay.
That's the thing, is like I get a risky one every time. And this is my risky one.
Well, you're going out on a limb with a large Bulgarian.
I picked against Roman last time. I went crazy with going Dean last time. Okay. Served me well.
Alright. I'm going to go with what was keeping me in the lead on these picks for a few months, and that was
always bet Roman.
Take Roman to pick New Day. Now we have AJ versus John Cena. Cena. Yeah, because, I mean, I'm guessing this is the last of their...
It seems like, yeah. Somebody pointed out that Cena has not won a singles match at SummerSlam since 2007, which is almost 10 years.
So you're saying he's probably due one. That's the only trend I can see through the WWE.
I'm saying, interesting, Cena's going to win.
Yes.
That doesn't sway my decision.
No, me neither.
It's just not interesting, because he also beat half the Nexus by himself at SummerSlam, so, which negates.
I felt like it was more than half, but close.
The big thing, he was down 2-1, Barrett and Justin Gabriel versus Cena, and Cena beat both of them.
I hate the Nexus odds in that aspect. Now we have the WWE World Championship, Dean versus Dolph. Yeah, it's third from the top in Wikipedia. How does that make you feel?
Oh, God, this is going to bum me out. Do you think Brock and Randy are going to main event?
Probably.
I don't want that to happen, though.
Yeah.
I picked Dean for this one.
Yeah. As much as they're trying to give Ziggler a resurgence right now, I got to go with Dean. Like, I feel like beyond this pay-per-view, their next special is so close from now, they'll probably do a rematch.
Yeah.
Just to avoid having to start anything new in like 2 weeks.
Dean has been their most champion-y champion.
Yeah.
In recent memory, though.
And, yeah.
Like, I feel like they do recognize that to some extent, and that's not something you throw away lightly.
No, not at all. I feel the same way. So I'm going Dean as well. Then we have the Universal Championship, Finn Balor versus Seth Rollins.
Where are you going on this one?
I'm leaning Rollins.
Okay, I was leaning Balor.
Okay.
Because it's just such a weird, rapid push buildup.
Mm-hmm.
Just to have him
lose right out of the game.
Lose right at the finish line.
But like, then again, they can always be like, "Oh, he's a rookie from NXT."
They can. So but like,
and they can still book him strongly, especially with the cruiserweight thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like he's probably going to be the face of the cruiserweight for a little while.
I feel like,
because who better to build a division around? To be honest with you,
I feel like that first Universal Champion ever
mm-hmm.
is something you can pull. Time and again, the way like Jericho did with first Undisputed Champion.
That's true.
And Jericho was a surpriser for that one, remember?
Yeah.
And I think Finn might be the surpriser for this one, because Seth doesn't really need it. Seth has Architect of the Shield, Seth has number one draft pick. Seth doesn't need a whole lot more to claim. Seth also has never fairly lost the title. He has a lot of things he can, you know, pound his chest about.
Sure.
I think I'm going to go Balor on this one.
Okay. I don't know. I've for the most part, I've been going with the safe bet on this one, on these picks. So I feel like Seth is probably the safer bet.
All right.
So I'm going to go with that. And Brock and Randy.
What do you think is going to happen? You think Brock?
Yeah.
All right. I'll go Brock. Yeah,
Brock. It doesn't matter what's pumping through his veins. Brock is going to win. There will be no bring it on down to Viperville. Like, it's not going to happen.
I think Randy winning would be the smarter move. I think it would be the more interesting move. I think it would do better for your company as a whole.
But when has WWE ever been concerned about any of those factors?
I have made risky...
When pertaining to Brock.
I have already made risky picks on this card, and I will stay safely.
Yeah, I'm going to continue my streak of staying safe on this particular round of picks.
So...
yeah, no. Like you said, as much as, okay. I don't think Brock cares in the slightest what Dean Ambrose might has said about him on the Stone Cold podcast.
Yeah.
Where he basically said, like, you know, he's not interested in really working. Like, he wants to play Brock rules,
mm-hmm.
which is 16 plus suplex.
Yeah.
So I feel like we're just going to just get suplexes, just in response to that.
Well, I mean, it's still working. Like, that's the move he gets the biggest pop for now.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, and the other option was the Kimura Lock, and honestly, I'll take 16 suplexes over 12-minute rest hold Kimura Lock.
It is entertaining / interesting to see Brock call out Goldberg. I'm sure it's, like, just for the video game and everything. Just like, really? Really? Do you want to revisit that feud? That one? Really? And I mean, I feel like, you know...
I honestly think that they should do it right before they both leave for good.
Yeah.
That would just slow clap. I can't even be mad at you.
WrestleMania 33 main event right there.
I mean,
13 years in the making.
I don't mean main event or anything, but just like Goldberg comes for that one feud and then leaves for good, and that's like the last thing Brock does. And make it clear.
And honestly, I could see, like, just now talking about it, if Goldberg was to ever come back for one more match, probably for that,
mm-hmm.
just be like, get the bad taste out of their mouth so people will stop complaining about it or making fun of it, even though we won't.
No.
But I could see Brock, like, destroying Randy Orton, and as soon as it happens, you hear Goldberg's music, you know, and he's I'm next, like that. Use that kind of thing.
Yeah, I could see that,
and then build that up like 6 months for.
You know what? I'd absolutely be okay with that.
I would be okay with it too. Like if they're going to have Randy Orton lose to Brock, that's.
And since
doing it and having some sort of purpose to moving on to something else. Yeah.
And since WrestleMania has become such a, you know, spot for part-timers.
Sure.
We'll have the part-timers fight the part-timers then. I don't want to
spread it out. One-sided feuds. Yeah. Just do it all in one feud. Yeah.
So.
I can get behind that.
Yeah. I'm okay with that. Before we wrap up, we think we should mention real quick the CM Punk thing. So.
Oh, right. Okay.
This is UFC now, so if you're done with wrestling, we're done with wrestling.
See you next time.
So, but if you want to stick around.
All of us on Twitter, see our attire. We'll live tweet everything this weekend. So, and I do mean everything.
It's going to be a thing.
Oh, man.
So UFC released the first of how many episodes?
I believe four.
The first of four episodes.
Leading up to his UFC 203
yes,
debut.
Yes, the evolution of Punk.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really interesting.
Yeah.
Part of what was really interesting was, like, a genuine update on Punk, it felt like.
Well, sure, it was, like, forever ago, but... Like, before he had back surgery, like, this is... Mm-hmm. I think, like, he had that fight towards the end of it was, like, 2 months into training, so it was a while back.
But I feel like the last real update was the podcast. And, like, he did an interview since then.
And those, yeah, I'm sure a lot of that has to do with, like, well, it's going to get covered in the documentary. Not even, it might have been, like, even some contractual stuff where don't talk too much about, you know, what's been going on or whatever, because we want to reveal it in this documentary, like, yeah. That kind of stuff.
But, like, other than the weird, odd tweet that, because I don't follow him on Twitter anymore.
I used to get his, like, notifications sent, like, I would get notifications on my phone whenever he tweeted. I'd cut that off.
Yeah.
Long time ago. Yeah.
So, but like the weird thing that would trickle into, you know, whatever.
Sure.
I did read. So like, but it was like, so it's nice. A solid half hour of my life again dedicated to Punk. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember 2013.
Right. Just kind of a slight of an offshoot from that. What's your take on this whole Conor McGregor thing?
Oh. It's got to be...
It's got to be him just messing with people, to be honest with you.
No, I fully believe he has... I don't know how many fights he has left in him.
And honestly, it might be hinging on what happens this weekend at 202.
Yeah, I think he has a couple of goals left in UFC. He has a few unchecked boxes. Mm. And that's pretty much what he's interested in doing. I mean, that's where some of the problems stemmed.
Yeah.
Where that got him moved from 200 to 202.
Right.
Because he's like, I'm not interested in that. I'm really interested in...
Well, and he likes to play really weird head games. And sometimes that sometimes it fires back on, like, 200.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But I think he pretty much has... He's like, I'm interested in these fights. I'm interested in meeting these people.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like he might be done with UFC after that point.
Sure.
Because I think what he, you know, really enjoys, I think what his favorite thing to do is do this weird, like, you know, talking crap.
Sure.
Playing head games mm-hmm. kind of stuff.
So, do you think, and again, like, I'm not trying to, like, ask you to, like, get inside of his head, because I feel like that's almost impossible at this point. Just the guy's so out there. Do you think, like, those other goals that he might have in UFC, do you think he still pursues them if he loses at 202?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, I mean, at when you get to that point,
mm-hmm.
that high level of anything,
mm-hmm.
Especially anything athletic, you think you're the best at them. You have to fully believe in your heart of hearts and your mind of minds that you are the best in the world, and that anything that suggests you're not in the best world, any losses, anything right. like that, that's a fluke.
Yeah.
It's a whoopsie-doo.
Yeah, this is one of those fight cards where I'm really, like, for once, I'm kind of hoping that NXT TakeOver, like, ends right at 10.
Yeah.
So I can immediately, like, flip over.
So I think he thinks he is the best in the world.
Oh, sure, yeah,
he has plenty of evidence to back that up. He has all the confidence in the world. Anything...
Because you can kind of make, like, some excuse, not excuses, but, you know, well, yeah, of course he lost his last fight, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and he is confident to the point where, like, he's fighting out of his weight class and stuff. He's,
right. Which I think is a mistake, but, you know, at least that big of a jump.
So.
He's jumping, what, two weight classes?
I think so, yeah.
I feel like that's a mistake.
One
up or down, I can make a case for. Two seems like you're stretching it a lot.
Yeah. But I think that, I mean, there's room for bravado and,
oh, sure.
and talking like that in UFC. There's a lot more room for it in wrestling.
Sure. And again, like, I kind of have to agree with Punk. Like, there was a lot of people that took the bait that probably should have known better. You know?
Yeah. I mean,
and all it did was just add fuel to
well, the fire. And how much, you know, also, why don't you take the bait? Somebody famous mentioned WWE. Keep, you know.
Well, I mean, there's, okay.
It behooves Roman to keep fanning that flame as well.
I guess there's a difference between that taking the bait and getting worked. Like, yeah. Ric Flair got worked. You know, he was just like, well, you ask so-and-so and so-and-so and blah, blah, blah. They'll all, you know, go over there and just show you what for, like, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, Big E was just like, or I forgot exactly what he said, but he kind of made a joke about it, but still, you know, still standing up for the company and himself.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably the proper way to do it.
People
getting legitimately, like, offended or whatever.
I don't think Conor McGregor has the mental capacity or ability to be a face.
No.
In WWE.
No.
Much
like how WWE was trying to have Floyd Mayweather be a face when he did his match and clearly was not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's nothing more than just a little bit of like a heads up, I'll be there soon. You know, be aware of this name, be aware of this face, because it will show up in WWE at some point.
It's definitely in the back of his head, clearly.
Yeah.
How soon that's going to be before that happens, we'll have to see.
Depends on how soon he checks off all his boxes.
But again, like, I don't think there's any coincidence that he's making these comments while he's going to be on the show that is contractually obligated to promote SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Through the Brock Lesnar deal.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably going hand in hand. Or he's seeing that my company has to promote this company. I'm going to talk crap.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like, as much as I'm like, no, this is all publicity, this makes me be like, yeah, I'd love to see that guy get his face punched.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't even want to see him lose.
No.
I just want to see a punch go to his face.
I'm a big fan of his, to be honest with you. I love his fights.
Yeah.
But
I don't want to see, him get punched in the face a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say that I would like to see him and Brock in the ring together, but...
Because you want to see his face get punched a little bit.
I don't want him murdered.
But going back to the Punk thing.
Yeah.
It was really interesting to see him actually training, because, like, we knew he was training, but at the same time, we knew, like, he never has had any sort of MMA fight before, and so you gotta be like, okay, so at some point in training, somebody tries to punch him in the head for real, like, he needs to know what that feels like.
Sure.
You know, when, like, an MMA guy does this. So watching that actually happen, and he had his first bout.
Right.
The coach is, you're winning or you're learning thing, might be the best Little League thing. Like, that makes me want to be a Little League dad.
Right.
Just like, you're winning. God, that's amazing.
Winning or learning. Yeah.
Like, all right. Holy crap. Yeah, I agree. Incredible.
Yeah. I'm thoroughly intrigued. Like, I'm a big fan of the guy that did the documentary. He also did I Hate Christian Laettner.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to do the Ric Flair one.
The 30 for 30
coming out soon, I think.
I also really like that we got to see AJ.
Yeah.
Just because she's kind of fallen off of my map since.
Sure. Like, I know she's doing a lot of animal stuff, I think.
Yeah. And
which is great, you know, follow your passion by all means.
Yeah.
You
don't know how much of her departure from WWE is Punk related, but you have to assume it's adjacent in some level.
Yeah, because again, I'm trying to think of, because this would have been around the time, because 2 months into training, he announced towards the end of 2014, she's still with the company in 2015.
Yeah, she makes a comment in the document, he like brings home some dinner or something, she's like, I have to bear my midriff on national TV.
Right.
So she was clearly still in the company at that point.
But it, like, certainly around the time where she's about to leave again, but still.
So, but it's nice to kind of get that update. They have the weirdest looking dog I've ever seen.
Yeah, and that's ugly. It's the ugliest thing ever.
Like,
yeah.
Good for them for adopting and loving that thing.
Because I've seen pictures of it before this, and it's just, It's nightmare fuel, to be honest with you.
But that
don't get me wrong. All dogs are precious. I love dogs to the utmost extent. That dog is a hell beast. It is a tiny...
It's a goofy-looking monster. Like,
yeah.
It's adorable, and like I'm sure it's a great dog.
Sure.
But it's a goofy-looking monster.
It probably should be grateful for any sort of love that's ever shown its way.
Because,
man, that thing's ugly.
But it also... Honestly, this, and we'll see how the rest of the other episodes, if they continue this feeling or if they kind of go a different way. But this makes me want Punk to win again. Like, I was starting to really feel that, like, I can't wait to see Punk get his face punched in.
Especially anytime some dirt sheet came out where he was just, you know, stirring up more crap. Or not even that, or just getting angry at somebody for asking a wrestling question.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, dude, it's kind of what you're...
It's what you're
it's how we know you. Like, yeah. It's how everyone knows you. Mm-hmm. Yes, we know you're writing comic books. We know you're training to be a UFC fighter. You're not in an octagon. You haven't been in an octagon, even though you've been with this company for 2 years.
Yeah.
What else are we supposed to talk about? You're not telling us anything else.
And, like, so, but seeing this, seeing him talk again, and some of it, like... Some of it was like, oh, this is literally the same things he said in the Best in the World documentary. Like, I don't need to hear about his family and his upbringing because I've heard about it a lot.
I mean, he put up a little bit more, like, more of a, like, I don't want to say the gruesome details, but a little bit more of the details that probably WWE would have cut out.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. But by and large, we know it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, honestly, like, he didn't dive too deep into it.
No, he didn't. I didn't have an issue about it, but it's like it's well out there and documented.
Mm-hmm.
But just kind of getting him to talk about like where he is mentally in life is interesting, and it gets me. I did feel like there is a little bit of grumpiness, and like I want to see like. I'm just going to get his face punched in because I'm ready for him just to come back and wrestling. And it's like, yeah, how dare he leave what I can see him weekly to watch, you know, to wait all this and just watch this. But at the same time, there's a part of me like, I want to cheer CM Punk.
Sure.
Like that part of me that, you know, is way back from then, from that 2011. I'm like, yeah, I want to cheer CM Punk. And this is helping me get
there. I'm okay with like, a part of me is just like, I want him to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And any of his endeavors that he applies himself to.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's just like, I don't know.
It'll be interesting.
It will be.
And you know what? It's doing the right thing because it's getting me hyped up for 2 or 3.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So good job on that.
Yeah. We're going to do Buffalo Wild Wings for that?
Yeah, I assume so.
Cool. We haven't done that in a while.
Yeah.
Cool.
Anything else?
Nope. That's all the really plans I need to make with you on live podcast.
All right, as always, you can follow us on Twitter at Sierra Attire, where we're going to be live tweeting NXT and SummerSlam both.
You want to go to Carowinds sometime soon?
No, I hate Carowinds.
What? Okay, we'll have to talk about that on the podcast. And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send it over to our email. That's classroomingattire@gmail.com.
I feel like I want to backtrack on that hate right there because I don't want to alienate potential sponsors.
Yes. Wait, who owns Carowinds?
Not Carowinds, just somebody who might.
But like, wasn't there like a movie studio or something that owns them?
I'm
like
saying Paramount or something. Somebody who might feel passionately about Carowinds. I'm not like.
Sure. Okay. All right. Don't offend any of the Carowinds lovers. Six Flags can suck it.
Six Flags still a thing.
I think at least the one in Atlanta. I think.
We're also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. Give us a rating of
5 stars
and 6 flags.
Dang it! How come I didn't come up with that?
And that, or if you write a review, that really helps out the podcast as well.
Yeah, absolutely. If you like King's Dominion, you can just eat all of the phallic objects you want. But if you're listening to this podcast on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there and tell us how much you love you some Disney World.
Okay, first of all, I want to say that Disney World is an entirely different beast from all of these other theme parks.
I was running out of theme parks. Okay, all right, fine. If you're on InsidePulse, if you're listening on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there and tell us how much you love Busch Gardens.
There you go.
There we go.
That's solid.
Thank you.
We are also on Facebook. Yes. You can follow us there. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. You can discuss, you know, all of the perfectly valid entertainment options at any and all local theme parks that you might have preferential enjoyment of. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Well, actually, this is going to be my opportunity to talk about how Dollywood is the best theme park in the
world. I do like Dollywood.
You do?
Yeah, let's go to Dollywood sometime. Yeah, I don't want to do that.
All right.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Dollywood!